And there it is. So pretty much, man, New York City feel was just really good. So hopefully we got a lot of people listening to everything right now. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. But it just started really very quickly. You know, I hit up Beck this morning. I said, yeah, man, I want to start doing a show back in the morning. He said, when do you want to start? We can start today, because I couldn't wait to talk to you guys, man. I know we hadn't done the show in a few days. I only got to actually do one, but it was live from New York City. So, you know, that's pretty awesome in itself as well, too. So, New York City, fun time. I finally got to go to Brooklyn, and I was able to take part in some Junior's Cheesecake. And all I got to say is to you guys is that you need to get your butt to Brooklyn when you're in New York City, 986 Flatbush Avenue, right across the street from LIU Brooklyn, and get yourself some of that good cheesecake. There's Applebee's over there, too, so if you don't want to spend any money on some regular food at Junior's, you go to Applebee's first, then come over to the Junior's restaurant and get yourself some great, great cheesecake. And they got all types of cheesecakes as well, too. And man, it's just, but I got the good old fashioned that I like to get the cheesecake with the strawberries on top. But I like plain too, though, because the plain really tells you what the taste is gonna be. But I want to mess with the strawberries, man. So it looked like, literally looked like a pie, man. I shared it with three people, dog. You know, I'm a big dude too. And you know, sharing with me is, so you know, sharing is limited, but man, I shared it with three people, so just not with two other people. So hey, you know, it is what it is. But you know, I just wanted to make sure they got a little taste of life too. It was a lot, man. It was a lot. But I do suggest to you, if you want to order them, to go on their website and order them to your house. You know, make it your next birthday cake, whatever you need to do. It will be very, very, very tasty. Also, I was able to be on Broadway. I went to the Beacon Theater as well too. And that place looked very angelic. Like, it looked very nostalgic, you know? And it's funny to me that all these things in New York, they're so old, you know, but they still have the nostalgia to them. They're still important places to be at. You don't really get that in California. Literally, like, it becomes like in California, usually, especially in LA, it usually becomes kind of just like a place where you start holding cheap, seedy situations at once it gets to a certain age. But out in New York now, they still got big plays, all that stuff going on at that theater. But every time I think about the Beacon Theater, I think about that old play, Mama, I Want to Sing, the commercial and everything that we used to listen to on TV. Mama, I Want to Sing live from the Beacon Theater, Raising in the Sun, you know, all that stuff. So it was great to be there as well, too. So, and you already know, I have been to Madison Square Garden before for the Canelo fight, but this night was different. This was really, really different, because we did get ourselves a historic night, a legendary night, and this was the type of match that Jim Lampley and HBO would have loved it. They would have loved something like this. This would have been like legendary. This would have been something huge. But the reception that Andy Ruiz has gotten from the social media, from the actual media, has been absolutely incredible. But once again, it's more about the loss of Anthony Joshua than the win of Andy Ruiz Jr. So, you know, this is something that we keep running into when the big favorite doesn't win. So, you know, much power to him. But we're going to talk a little bit more about the boxing in a minute. I want to get to the early part of this WNBA, because it seems like we're doing some pretty good things here with the WNBA right now as well too, picks wise and things like that. But I like the way that the league is going. I think that this weekend was pretty fun. They had four games. I couldn't get a part of the four games. So on Saturday, but I was able to get Friday's game. So look, I like the way that the Aces have came out, but I'm not drinking the milk. I'm not drinking the tea on them yet, man. They're good, but I think that there's other teams that are better at this point, like the Lynx and the Sparks. I think that they do have a deep squad, but they're gonna have to show and prove on a weekly basis. They lost last night by 6, and they lost on Friday as well too by 2. So, you know, that team is considered to be the number one team in the league, but they really, that's given a team that just got to Vegas a little bit much, and they've been kind of mediocre for the last few seasons. They're building, but it takes time. It takes time. And then the Storm are actually playing really good basketball, believe it or not, without Super and without their top player as well, too. I got to get her name, but, man, it is wild that this league is so good. It has so much parity to it. I think people really need to buckle down and give it a chance, man. We also have the Suns and Sparks. The Suns actually were defeated. The Sparks beat them by 7, and we had the under that day. So, you know, as usual, the Sparks good to get the under for your boys. So they went ahead and did that, and they won that. I still say that they're the best team in the league because they got Candace, they got Vicky and her sister. So they're doing their thing. They should be fine. And I think that they're the team that you need to consider, that you need to be like, that's the team that you're going to have to beat. So, baseball over the weekend. Who got swept? And it's funny, the first day we do this show, I only get 4 baseball games a day. Looks like the Dodgers swept the Phillies this weekend. That's surprising because, you know, the Phillies is a first-place team. The Dodgers are a first-place team. The Dodgers are pretty much showing and proving that, hey, we the squad. People need to keep up with us. Dodgers are 41-19 as we speak right now. And they were playing against the Philly, who was 23 coming into the game. They wind up getting swept this weekend, all 3 games. I know that now they know that, hey, it's going to be some tough sledding over here because it's getting to the Dodgers, boy. Telling you, they became the new Atlanta Braves of the National League. You know, that 14-year run that the Braves had, the Dodgers are literally like on a set now, a 7-year run, trying to get that World Series ring. And they've been to 2 World Series in the past 2 seasons. So third might be a charm. I think they might, if they're able to make the World Series, I think they might draw a team that they'll be able to beat. Because the Astros are very, very deep when it comes to hitting, when it comes to pitching. And the Red Sox just had a dream season. It was tough. Nobody's going to beat the Red Sox in the World Series, man. Seriously. They were well-disciplined, and they just had everything, man. And they were a team that they would get down 4 runs. It didn't really even matter. So the Dodgers, man, at this point right now, I'm really happy from what I'm seeing. I'm going to go ahead and see exactly what they've done over the last 10 games, actually, too. It looks like the Dodgers are 9-1, to be exact. Last time the Dodgers lost was on the road, and that game was a wash anyway. They weren't worried about that. That was, looks like it was the Mets game. Yeah, last night they lost was against the Mets, and they were coming off a 4-game winning streak. Then they just started another 5-game winning streak, so that's nuts in the last 10 games. And also, the Dodgers just been nuts, man. 20 games over 500. Early in the season, like, the Dodgers are pacing to win 110 games right now, and that's absolutely insane. And I say that the return of Russell Martin might be a key factor in that as well, too. Last year was the return of Matt Kemp. Matt Kemp was really, really good, but now it's the return of Russell Martin, the guy that used to keep all the pitchers intact and all the pitchers where they need to be, keep the pitchers ahead of the curve, keep the pitchers ahead of the game, and here we are. Now we got ourselves a great, great situation growing here for the Dodgers, and I'm so happy for them boys. I hope everything works out for them as we move along, but we'll be talking about it as we go because this is a daily show. All right. Red Sox, Yankees. Actually, the first game was a rainout. The game I was supposed to go to with Chris Sale pitching, that one wound up being a Yankees win, 4-1. Then we had some good games, a good game Saturday. Yankees won that one 5-3. Then last night, the Sunday night game, the Red Sox won that one 8-5. So the Yankees actually are ahead. And it seems like the Sox are at a point right now where it's do or die for the playoffs, even though it's June. I just feel like, man, we got a lot of stuff going on, but I just feel like with June, they really got to make a good move, man. So there it is. There it is. Red Sox, you got to get it together because the Yankees are going to be there at the end. And I still see the Rays being the pain in everybody's side in this division. AL East, tough. But the Yankees, though, it's just really, you haven't been hearing about Stanton, Judge that much, but I think they will start heating it up come July, August, get those big numbers that everybody's looking at. Mike Trout, the richest man in the MLB, got to sit around and really just stack collect. So all the awards he's going to be really getting is MVPs for absolutely just having a great season. They're just going to give it to him because, you know, that's the best reward for the best player in the game if his team can't make the playoffs. So really, the Angels, you guys got to do something to get this guy back to the offs, man. You really do. I feel bad for Mike Judge. I mean, Mike Trout. I really do, man. And he really does need to be, like, y'all need to do more. Y'all need to figure it out. Listen to some good music right now, or the music choice as well, two hip-hop classics, so, you know, Akadali. That song was hilarious. All the freaks in high school like that. I graduated in 02, so that was their favorite song. The song came out in 99. Put It In Your Mouth came out in 99. 92. Well, it got a lot more traction back in 99 and things like that when they reworked it, when they reintroduced it. So I'm saying, but my point is, though, all the freaks used to listen to that song back in high school. So, you know, and she liked Put It In Your Mouth. She dated older niggas too. So it is what it is, man. But this is a sports show. So. We're going to go ahead and take our first commercial break. It's awesome that we are back. So if you guys are tuned in right now, tuned in, awesome. Call a friend, call your mama, call your daddy, call your sister, call your brother, call your cousin. Tell them to tune in as well, too. The Primetime Angles radio show has returned. Brand new time, so you guys will be right back. The show is brought to you by Twin Spires. You guys go ahead and enjoy the commercials. I'll be back to you in 2 and 2.
Hey, it's Cody Jans and Warriors play-by-play announcer, and you're listening to Edmonton Warriors.
All right, we are back with the Primetime Angles radio show. Live from Los Angeles. You already know what it is, man. We got the AFC title odds out right now. And I know it's like, damn, kind of jumping the gun, but we see the numbers. I like the numbers. We're going to talk about the numbers. This is for the AFC, too. As usual, you got the Patriots sitting up here, plus 400 right now to go ahead and win it. Go ahead and get to the Super Bowl once again, but win the AFC title, so you could go ahead and cash. So once again, just remember, they don't have to win the Super Bowl for you to cash this ticket. They just have to get to the Super Bowl. So once they get to the Super Bowl, you get the plus 400. You can go ahead and put $100 on the ticket. You get back $400. You profit $500 off that. Or you can $250, it gets you $1,000. So, you know, it could be a strong play for you with the Patriots this year, but I wouldn't say it's that strong of a play. I would think that last year gave you the measurement that this was the last run, because I really truly do think that I don't wish injuries upon any player or anybody, but I really do think that at some point he's going to get hurt and it's going to be out. He's going to be out for a while. This is about the age that Favre got hurt, about what, 41, 42, where that Achilles pop, I don't know. And Kobe was in his latter stages, maybe about his 17th season, and the Achilles pop, I'm just saying that we're 17, 18 years in already now, and it's just, I don't know. But Tom, terrific. You got a great workout program, a much better workout program than me. So he should be fine, right? But I just think that he's getting a year older. He wasn't really throwing the ball that deep this season. It's just that they have very well-structured plays, a lot of overs, a lot of digs, a lot of little gimmicky plays with very fast receivers who know how to do their job. So there you are. You got the Patriots at plus 400. And we'll just run it down. And let me just run it down a line, and I'm going to give you guys the best value after I run it down a line. And why it's the best value. We got plus 500 on the Chiefs. Ooh-wee. And that number right there, ooh, that's tricky. We're going to get back to the Chiefs in a moment. Browns are plus 700. Why? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Oddsmakers, don't give them that much credit, man. This team has been absolutely awful for the last, 5 years before last season. And they had a run of 1-31. No, do not oversell the Browns yet. I just think that that's more of a homer play, homer pick, homer stuff. And you got to understand there's a lot of Browns fans all across the nation. So they jumped all over this thing once they saw that they had Beckham. And you got Baker Mayfield, who is only going to get better. You got Jarvis Landry, who's awesome as well. Then you got Nick Chubb, who's going to be the breakout player of the NFL next season, it looks like, hopefully for the Browns. And then you got a great defense as well, too. You got Myles Garrett, who's a non-bust. He was never going to be a bust. Always would have been a 10-year vet, whichever team you play for. Then they have they improved the secondary as well, too. Their top 10 pick last season is a beast, regardless of what anybody says. He's a beast. So those were pretty good picks in the top 10. So they won in that account. So that gets people excited, right? So, but plus 700 is a bit, I don't know if that number is small for a team that hasn't been to the playoffs in forever. Then you got the Chargers plus 700, strong. Colts plus 800, Texans plus 1200, Steelers plus 1200, Ravens plus 1600, Jaguars plus 1600, Raiders plus 2000, Broncos plus 2500, Jets plus 2500, Bills plus 3300, Titans plus 2500, Bengals plus 5000, and the Dolphins come in at the number of the plus 6600. So that's 66-1, 50-1, 33-1, 25-1, 25-1, 25-1, 20-1, 16-1, 16-1, 12-1, 12-1, 8-1, 7-1. All right, strong value here. Chargers plus 700. Put 200 on that bad boy, you get yourself 1400 in profit. You 200 back, that's 1600 bucks. And I think that this is a sharp bet. I'm just saying that if that's a minimal bet for you, can put $20 on it and get back $160. So don't worry about it. I mean, so just look at it. You might have five teams you really like to go to the AFC Championship. And here goes the five that I would give you, okay? And that here goes the five I'm going to take. But I'm going to put a little bit more than 20 bucks on these guys, so, okay? The Patriots, of course. If I say Patriots, you should do 250 minimum. So you can go ahead and get yourself back to 1,000 on that bad boy. You know, be nice. That'd be nice, you know what I mean? So that'd be nice, but you get back 1,000 in profit, you get back your 250, that's gonna be a 1250 deal. All right, Chiefs, they already have headaches early. I don't even see them making the AFC Championship, so cross them off the list. Browns, cross you off the list, because this is just too soon. Chargers, I'm taking. I gotta take. Yeah, and Audrey, then you know you had to get that crazy with the Chargers. You can go ahead and put minimum 150 to 200. Get yourself 15, get yourself a 16 off that deal. That's a good bet. They're strong. Chargers plus 700. Colts, I was scratched about, but they're about a year away. They're about a year away. They got a lot of cap space, so they should be able to get a good group of free agents in this next class. Once they show out and get back to being a 10 to 11, 12 win team. Steelers, man, with AB leaving and Juju getting the full run of being the Ben's number one guy, seriously, this may be the strongest value of all 32 teams, 12-1 with the Steelers, because they got a monster chip on their shoulder, but they got the cancer out the locker room. Now you see why there was miscommunication. There was a lot of things where the team wasn't gelling properly because of what occurred with the AB Ben Roethlisberger situation and Le'Veon Bell sitting out the whole season. So this is, now you got the Steelers back. So you can put $100 on the Steelers and get back $1,200 this year. Okay, so cut that in half. Steeler fans, Pittsburgh people, who people on a budget, put $50 on it, get back $600. So the Steelers are a strong, strong play to get back to the Super Bowl next season. I don't care what nobody says. They still got Mike Tomlin as their coach. They still got Ben Roethlisberger as their quarterback. That's all they need. That's all they need. And then they got Juju Schuster, who's going to be a Pro Bowler next season, top five receiver in the NFL. And then they still got a decent line, and then they got some great players that can complement Ben and Juju within that offense as well too. And you know, they always can find somebody in the draft as well too. The Steelers draft very, very, very well. So as we pay attention to OTAs, we'll find gym players. And I know that Philly Pete, once he gets time when we do the Sunday show, I know he'll have some Steelers for you that are going to be balling next season. So 12-1 is a strong number. That's a big number on the Steelers, who have a stronger chance to get to the Super Bowl than the Browns do, in my opinion. So there it is. That's my third team right there. Ravens, move on. What do you have? Lamar Jackson, and they're going to figure everything out, just like the Chargers did when they played. But the thing about him is he has that Michael Vick mixed in with that Steve McNair spirit. You got the Michael Vick speed and the Steve McNair spirit, because they did push a little comeback in that game. But at the end of the day, that doesn't matter. He's just, everything is highlight reel. And hopefully he can make it through the whole season, because the way that he plays the game, it's a very dangerous way of playing football. It's really playing chicken out in the middle of the road. Seriously. Jimmy Dean style, baby. All right. And then you got the Jaguars plus 1,600. That's way too big of a number on them. That team has to rebuild for the next 10 years again. Get them out of here. But the Raiders, 20-1. These Rambunctious fellas, see, Gruden always needs a season. Okay, I'll give him that. Because when Gruden goes to Raiders the first time around, it was the same situation. They had to turn out a whole lot of fans. There's a whole lot of people Gruden cut, people didn't understand. There's a whole lot of moves that were made that were just bad. Everybody, bad move. But then you get AB. And this is almost like getting Jerry Rice in a sense. But the problem is, though, you got rid of Tim Brown, Amari Cooper. You know, and this is what makes this situation tricky. But they still have Martavis Bryant, from what I know. And they have AB. And AB's still going to get AB plays. So just think about it. The Raiders could possibly sneak into the Super Bowl season. I know it sounds crazy at this moment right now, but there's going to be a lot of emotion into this season, because it's the final season in Oakland, baby. So let's see where it's going to go. Let's see where this thing may go. because they're going to be entertaining for that Oakland crowd. I don't see them losing many games in Oakland this season. They're going to play with the spirit this year because they know that's all they got. So I'm being going crazy about here on the wheel. Circle me the Raiders at 20-1. That's my long shot play. And Broncos 25-1. That's not even that bad. With Flacco at quarterback, I trust Flacco much more than any quarterback they had last season. You know, Case Keenum picking up quarterbacks that were just having great, that had a great moment, great season, but that's where you get in trouble in this game. So that's where I'm going there. I really do like the Raiders' value, but the Broncos' value is good too. And I'm kind of shaky about circling it, but I might want to do it. But I think it's a toss-up between them and the Titans. I like the Titans plus 2,500. The Jets have no business being plus 2,500. They're a team that should be plus 10,000. Seriously. And 25-1 on the Titans for a dark horse long shot, that might be good. That might be good. Mariota has a line that protects him, and they have a great running game, and they got one of the nastiest defenses in the league. And they can always have a season where they step it up. So I know it might sound crazy. Raiders and Titans is a Super Bowl pick, but it's crazy because they big odds crazy. So, you know, sometimes you got to jump on these things, man. Let me give you a great story. When the Saints went to the Super Bowl, they were 40-1 to make it to the Super Bowl. A guy betting them in Vegas that I knew, and he put about $1,000 on it just because, you know, lose $1,000 on my favorite team. They wind up in the Super Bowl. That guy is very, very happy. He still has money to this day. It was very helpful towards the business that he started. So there it is, man. Always have these long shot bets here, and they are the type of bets that will come through if you believe, but don't put your whole house on it and get mad about it, okay? If you can afford to lose it, go ahead and do it. But we will be back in a few minutes. Time for a commercial break. This is the Primetime Angles Radio Show with your boy, the Primetime Capper Pop DiBiase. And I should be able to get Jeff in here. I got Michael the PG coming in as well, too, at 11 o'clock. We're going to talk about the NBA Finals. We're going to have talk a little boxing. I'm going to see his take on the Andrew Ruiz Jr. Anthony Joshua fight as well, too, because we're going to save that for the next hour coming up. But we will be right back. The show is brought to you by TwinSpires. If you need to bet a race, that is a great website to go to. They have every single racetrack available. It's also the classic Churchill Downs, which is exclusive to TwinSpires. So you guys go ahead, sign up for TwinSpires.com. And this is the Primetime Eagles Radio Show, and we'll be back.
Hey there, listeners. Did you know a recent NBA basketball ticket on 12 hours?
We are back with the Primetime Angles Radio Show. It's your boy, the Primetime Capital Pop PBIC. At the top of the hour, we're going to be bringing in Michael to PG to talk about the NBA Finals with me. I'm going to see about how you felt about the fight as well. Two Saturday night. Man, the fight was absolutely nuts. Let me tell you something, man. Eddie Hearn, you did a hell of a job putting on one of the best cards you could possibly put on for the Madison Square Garden. Okay, so you had three main events as the main fights on the zone. You had Katie Smith. Let me go get my program. Hold on, y'all. Let me go get the program. They gave us an epic book. This is awesome. This was an event. This was like a Super Bowl type event, man. I
just absolutely floored knowing that I was a part of this. You know, all the great things that occurred that night, man. It was awesome. That's all I can say. That's all I can say. It was an awesome, awesome show. Awesome show. You guys, I'm telling you, something just magnificent to be a part of. If you were in New York that and you were at the fight, man, you know what I'm talking about. If you watch the fight at home, you know what I'm talking about. But if you watch the fight on the internet, some people might be giving you false perceptions because they got one-sided opinions about these people, which is absolutely terrible. But it is what it is. It happens. You know, there's nothing that you can do about it. But it does happen, and you just move on from it. It's okay. It's all right. But yes, this was absolutely crazy, though. We had Delphin Persoon, who's the WBC champ for the lightweights. Then we had Katie Taylor Made, you know, Katie Taylor, who was exceptional. And then she literally went ahead and she took care of her business on Saturday. It was a controversial decision. Some people felt that Persoon won the fight or it could be a draw. I thought it could be a draw, but we had just witnessed a draw before that fight with Josh Kelly fighting the new Ray Robinson, not Sugar Ray Robinson. And so they had their fight, and this really, really made no sense to me that they would take that fight away from Persoon, who actually had Katie Thomas hurt. So I'm, as Doug Fisher told me Saturday night, they need to run that one back. I have to agree with that one as well too. They do need to go ahead and run that fight back, man. It was a tremendous, it was a great fight. Both of those women were tremendous, man. And I thought that everybody in the building, that set up everybody's groove a little bit to see if there was going to be some really, really, you know, great co-main event, which wound up actually being a flop for the damn. It was like, damn, boy, you got beat down, boy, very quick. So I saw it. Kevin Smith went ahead and won his fight with ease. It was just, that was tremendous. 29-year-old boxer. He wants to fight Canelo. He wants Canelo badly at 168. That's literally the middleweight fight. You know what I mean? Because you have to understand, the middleweight division is super middleweight and middleweight. So when the middleweight champion fights super middleweight champion, it's not like they're that far apart, really. It's just that it's two different divisions. More belts, more money. You know how it goes. And these two can make it to where it's one official champion at the middleweight division. You know what I mean? And that's crazy. That's nuts. Even though Canelo can't put his 160 belts on the line in that fight, but he can go for the 168 belts and have all the belts. You know, and that's nuts. And then Canelo's even talking about going to light heavyweight eventually. Once he conquers the middleweight division. So this is crazy, but I think a Kelvin Smith fight still has to build. He has to have another crazy knockout, and he has to not avoid his division. You got David Benavidez, you got Caleb Sweet Hands Plant. Man, you got guys in that division that can beat him right now. You know, and Danny Jacobs is talking about moving up to super middleweight as well, too. I would think that they would make sure that fight happens as well, too. But they would probably make Danny fly overseas, to go overseas for that one. I know it. I know they would make him go overseas for that one. And, man, can Kelvin Smith be another Joe Calzaghe? That's the question. You know, because he's undefeated, 25 fights. 25 wins, 18 knockouts, and he beat beat up George Groves. He's the WBA super welterweight champion, super middleweight champion, diamond champion, ring magazine champion, and the lineal champion. So there it is. These guys are tremendous. I can't wait to see everybody's future. You know, Callum Smith is a guy that is the shot caller at 168, and I'm thinking that they can make a Caleb Plant fight happen just because it's Eddie Hearn, and maybe if Caleb Plant steps up to the plate, he wants that fight as well, too. And I know he does. I know he does. Hopefully, we can get him on the show soon as well, too. I'm going to reach out to his people and see if we can get some time with him and talk some boxing. And, man, I'm telling you, this is, the movement is moving, man. All right, look, we got some great, great fights coming up in the future. And one of them just got scratched, and it kind of hurt my feelings, but it might give me some leeway to do some other things. This is going to be the Nate, and then, you know, kind of kills a fun little video that I had as well, too. But Tony Harrison has pulled out of the Charlo fight because he has an injury. So they're gonna still, I'm thinking they're still gonna have, the production's still gonna go on, but they gotta figure out how that fight's gonna work. But about an hour ago, they confirmed that Tony Harrison was out with injury, so that fight is going to be redone. But good thing it happens on the 3rd of June, so hopefully Charlo still fights. It'll be just a short notice fight, but I'm thinking that he'll still fight. He still wants to fight. Wouldn't they still put the belt on the line? Doesn't he have to vacate the belt if he doesn't defend the belt with the mandatory? I don't know, but we'll figure out what it is in the coming days. But let me go ahead and give you my opinion on the Joshua fight before I get Mikel on the show, before I get Jeff on the show. And I'm Philly Pete. I'm thinking we might get him in on the show to talk some NHL. So this is my two cents. Watching the fight, going in, being a part of the fight week as well too. Let me tell you something about when he let him hold the belts. Andy was so cool, so nice, and Andy's is like a lovable guy, man. You look at him, he's a guy you want to hang out with, guy you want to joke with. You already know he's a cool guy. So Anthony Joshua had a major respect for him because he took the fight on short notice. He knew that he was a very, very good boxer, and he said that several times that they did not take, that they weren't taking, that they were taking Andy seriously, period, point blank, and that they knew that he was a very, very good fighter, and that he could be a problem, and they were not overlooking him at all. Joshua said plenty of times, I'm not the champion once I put my belts on the line. Now they're up for grabs. He said that several times. That's why he went ahead and let Andy Ruiz take a picture with the belts. It wasn't to say, yeah, go ahead and take a picture because I'm making fun, because this is the only time you ever have the belts. Take a picture with the belts, feel good about yourself, because this is a championship fight. This is a big fight. This is a big event. This is Madison Square Garden. This is where legends are made. And what happened on Saturday night? A legend got made, but just to defeat all the internet reporters who felt that they were at the fight, I didn't see you there. So, pretty much, or at the press conference, I didn't see you there. Because the press conference was media only. You couldn't bring your cousins and so in all these other extra shadowy figures in. No, it was a professional event. And pretty much, you know, it is what it is, man. We had a good time. And Joshua, Eddie Hearn, match room, they went ahead and put on a great show. Anthony Joshua was very gracious in defeat, even though he made us wait for 2 hours for his press conference. We actually left because guard security literally was pushing everybody out, but for some odd reason there became this private press conference. That's the only thing that I had wrong with Joshua than that. It took forever for him to come out, but I did understand we did have an abrupt, straightforward group waiting on him to ask those tough questions, man. So I think that they made sure that there was a good, respectable group that could go over and talk to him and, you know, answer ask the right questions. You know, just don't ask questions to just ask questions. You know, I've been at these press conferences and sometimes guys aren't even asking you a question, just giving you their opinion. And I just feel like, no, you're here to ask a question and to answer the question. If it sounds like it's your opinion, you need to walk this person out. You know, I'm telling you, but both of them were 29 years old. Only thing was, is Andy had 11 more fights, 32, 21. Both of them had 21 knockouts coming in. Crazy, man. This was the absolute gem of a fight. And I just think that when they run it back, it's going to be even better. It's going to be in the UK. It's going to be in the next 3 to 4 months. It will be this year as well, too. So, you never know. I might be able to go across the pond and go ahead and watch that fight live. But I think maybe I might be have to sit that one out and watch it on its own. So, we'll see where it goes, man. I think that this will be a night where a lot of us will take into fruition that, man, you can't play in the heavyweight division. It will be Andy Ruiz's proven ground that it just wasn't a fluke. But you know what? It wasn't a fluke Saturday night. I think that he should always, I think for the next 2 or 3 years, he should be fighting championship fights regardless of what happens in this rematch. He needs to be able to fight somebody else as soon as some other champion as soon as that occurs as well, too. But you know, you never know what happens. You sanction the bodies, you get a little antsy, and then they start making you give away belts and things like that. So we'll see where it goes, man. And just pretty much, man, awesome time, awesome moment. And I really am happy that I was a part of it. So that's what it's all about, though, man. But this is what it's about, though, man. Money, power, respect, man. And that's what Andy Ruiz has just received in the boxing game, man. He had the power, he had the respect, now he got the money. He made $7 million off this deal. He's going to make probably $20 million off the next one. Seriously. Because, you know, it was a golden ticket. He hit it. If he was able to beat Joshua, he's going to get paid big money. So you don't have to worry about the money. That's what it's all about. And he has to give Anthony Joshua the respect of the rematch because he gave the fight on a short notice as a replacement. But a star was born on Saturday night with Andy Ruiz. We knew who he was in California and in boxing, in the boxing game. But now the world knows who Andy Ruiz is. But I just want to give you guys one more thing about Andy Ruiz. The guy is very athletic. The guy looks like he could be a Pro Bowl defensive lineman if he wanted to be. Or he could be a Pro Bowl offensive lineman. You know, the guy got nimble. He got some nimble as his nimble. I know because I was like that when I was younger as well too. Nimble, moving. And the thing about it is he moves his hands so fast. His hands move like a welterweight or a middleweight. It's not, you know, a big bomb that you gotta throw like as a heavyweight. No, they're crisp punches that, and he can land punches and bunches. His hand speed has always been incredible. It's always been tremendous. And he's always been the underdog going into every fight. You know, even when he was an amateur champion, Mexican Olympic team. You guys have to understand, this guy knows how to box. He was a much, much better amateur than Anthony Joshua. Anthony Joshua became a pro very quickly, you know, and Deontay Wilder became a pro very quickly. These guys were already mature. And they're already teenagers or grown men. The thing is, Andy's been boxing since he was 6 years old, so it's in him. And he has a great story. He has a great family. This is going to be a fun ride for Mr. Andy Ruiz Jr. And I'm glad that I was able to interview him the week of the Garcia-Granados fight and spend time with the guy who's so humble and so nice, and his family so gracious and everything like that too. And it's just a great moment for a great guy. It's well deserved, man, and I was so happy to be a part of that moment. I'm telling you, it was great to be a part of that moment, man. And that's what it is, man. So you guys, we'll be right back. I'm gonna get some guests on the show right now. I'm gonna get my Kel in on the show right now. We're gonna run a quick commercial, then we're gonna be back to talk about the NBA finals, and hopefully we can get Jeff in here as well too. All right, you there? Yeah, my Keanu PG, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here, man. What's up?
All right, we can hear you loud and clear now, brother. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Good, man.
Yeah. All right, that dude. What's called? I see you guys over there killing it. You know, finals game one. Everybody felt like Nostradamus. We all somewhat had the Raptors, I'm thinking. And
I had the Raptors in game.
Yeah, I love the Raptors in game one. We actually cashed out that over in game one too. It was fun watching that game in New York City at a club called Bounce. I suggest you go there. It's in Manhattan, brother. You will have the thank me later. That's all I can say.
Man, I'm gonna have to make it happen this summer, man.
Yeah, man. So I'm telling you. So look, finals game one. I know it's about 4 days late, but hey, you know what? We'll talk game one and two. Game one,
yep.
I really did feel like they played Spurs style, you know, and it was tremendous. And I think that it was, whoo, boy, oh boy, tell you, man. Raptors came out, they played their game, they showed that, you know, Kawhi showed that he's a tough handle with this Warriors team, and he was back to business. And I think that they went in there and said it has to take all of us to beat all these little, you know, star players that the Warriors and everything have, and they were able to pull it off. And I just think the momentum of, you know, winning that big game against the Bucks, sweeping the way that they swept the Bucks, you know, it just was like a cherry on top. Give them five in a row, you know what I mean? So the Raptors, I was not surprised by that win. I wouldn't even call it, how can you call it an upset when they're the favorite? So what was your take on game one?
Man, game one was just, you know, the Raptors protecting home. I picked them to win that game because, you know, the crowd was fired up. The Warriors were, you know, they were kind of resting. They swept Portland, so they came in a little rusty. And the Raptors came in with a great game plan. They were like, man, we're gonna let Steph do what he do, guard him the best we can with Van Fleet chasing him around, and we're gonna try to take away everybody else. Really make Draymond be a scorer, and you know, do more. Make Klay put the ball on the ground, which he isn't the best at doing. And then just the others stepped up, man. You had Marc Gasol with a 20-point game. Dominating inside, playing well. Siakam looking really good. Man, the crazy part is I was on our episode of Court by Radio this week, our Throwback Thursday, which we, you know, drop a player from the past. And it was James Worthy. And looking at Siakam, I was like, man, he has a lot of James Worthy to his game. And that big-time game showed it. He looked like big game a lot that game. And he performed. And, you know, the Warriors got down and didn't have that crazy third quarter that they usually do. So the Raptors were able to take advantage and, you know, take that first game.
Right, because, you know, it just came out that the Warriors weren't hitting those shots. I just think that the Warriors just looked bad the whole night. They actually had a portion where they were, where you look up before you even got to half, they were, what, 12 turnovers in already? So they yep. just they weren't having a Warriors type game in the first place. I felt like that they were overdoing it, overshooting. I think that, you know,
they need to get back into things. You know, they had a long rest, and at the end of the day, you got a team that knows what they're doing. But I just keep saying to myself, is this Detroit Pistons, LA Lakers 04? It's feeling like that. It's feeling like that. So, man, I'm telling you.
It's feeling and it's looking like that, because it's like, if you remember with the Laker team, you know, injuries kind of hurt them. You know, they were playing pretty well with Karl Malone on the court. Once he went down, you had to start Matt DiVinco, and it just threw them off. But now you have KD out still. Boogie fighting his way back, who just had a great game, 11, 10, and 6. Klay just with the hamstring injury. Iggy with his injury. It's like it can turn into that series. Only difference is you need the Raptors to, you know, win these games on the road, because the Lakers had the home court in the series versus the Pistons. So they had their two games that they split, then they had to go to Detroit. The Raptors had their two, you know, their games, and they split, but it's going to be tough to win and go to state.
Yeah, and it's going to be tough for them to beat the Raptors without at least letting KD make some type of cameo. I really do feel like they won last night. They were able to win last night simply because DeMarcus played somewhat of a B version of Durant last night, not being looked upon to be the top scorer last night. But, you know, he did that. He got 20-plus points last night. He got the rebounds. He was playing better defense. He was comfortable, and he put him over the top. And see, they needed, if they had KD game one, they would have been in better shape to be over the top. And I'm just saying, I'm thinking that Cousins can only give that to you once every two or three games, and they only got seven games this year. Because, you know, you still recover. But I think that he took it upon himself once they watched the last few minutes of the, once they watched tape, that this is what you have to do. So,
yeah.
That's what I'm thinking with that right there. So, pretty much, it is a conundrum for these teams, in a sense. But I still think it's going to be a really good series. The reason why I compare it, though, PG, is like this. Man, you mind if I call you that? Because I know I'd be like, my PG.
Oh, yeah,
but I want to say, you my PG. I like that. I feel like, you know, we vibe like that. You know, because I played a little PG, but I was a post guy. So, look. Look, and I try to get straight to the point, man. That's where it pokes. So,
yeah, get right the fuck.
Right. So, my thing is, I say, you have a team in the Raptors that beat you twice. That's what happened to our Lakers. Remember this. And,
yep.
Literally, believe it or not, the Warriors have the same issues that we had. People with other aspirations right now. KD and Draymond, they ain't good. They just, for the betterment of the team. You know what I mean? And I feel like I've seen this movie before. I remember how distant Shaq was with the Magic at the end. It looks just like the same thing. Oh, he's hurt, so he can't be on the bench. But DeMarcus is on the bench. And then it's like,
true.
Oh, well, you know, we don't want to use, well, we still get him out. No, he's leaving. He knows he's leaving. Y'all know he's leaving. And Steve Kerr is trying everything in his power not to let him finish up that series. That's how I'm feeling.
No, yeah. That's how I'm feeling, too. I think that either KD isn't as healthy as they're telling us, or they kind of just trying to, like, keep them away, because, you know, they've been winning. They won five straight games without, six and seven without him. Six and seven. They beat the Rockets, four games sweep versus Portland, and then they were able to get this one versus Toronto. So they're kind of just like, man, if we bring this guy back, it's going to mess up our rhythm, and you don't have time to do that in the finals, because this is it.
Right, man.
There's nothing else. So it's a weird situation going on over there. Because they're winning games, we don't talk about it as much. But hey, they leave this season with a championship. None of that even matters.
Right. And
you got your ring.
Right. And then if they win it without KD, they'll be like, well, we didn't need you anyway. But at the end of the day, that would be it. True. That would be it back, and that would be a real backhand because they did need him. Because literally, without KD, this thing would have been wrapped up already because you don't return from 3-1 like that.
True.
You know, and KD was a great band-aid to make that, to fix that hiccup. Because if they don't get KD, they back in the lottery, brother. I promise you that.
They probably... They don't be in the lottery, but they're just
They'd have broke that. We'd have broke the camel's back, man. I'm telling you, Draymond would have been gone already. They would have figured out Clay would have been somebody's team for draft picks. And then you just got Steph. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, it'd have been bad.
Yeah, man. That's why, you know, because they needed KD to beat LeBron. They had a LeBron issue. And people seem to forget that first one when they beat LeBron, he had no Kyrie or Kevin Love. So it was just a different situation. And once he had those guys, yeah, they were down 3-1, but we don't care what you were down, we care who wins. And Cleveland was able to win. And KD came and he was the biggest X factor. It's the reason why he's a 2-time finals MVP. He's the reason why I picked him to win the series, because I think he's gonna come back. But if he doesn't, I got Toronto in 6 games, so man, it's gonna be a. I can't wait for the next few games. I like the adjustment the Warriors made as far as defensively. They played Bogut for some reason. They started Jordan Bell game one, but they played Bogut game two. Him and Cousins to protect the rim, and it helped slow down Gasol and Pascal from getting shots at the rim. And man, Iggy hit a big time shot. I can't believe it. Man, I like Max Kellerman, but the dude is out of his damn mind talking about he would take Iggy over Steph to shoot any big-time shot. But, hey, Iggy hit a big shot when he was wide open. He's a pro. He should make that shot. He did it. And now they're on the Golden State 1-1.
Yeah. So, pretty much, well, I was going to... We're gonna go ahead. I'm gonna keep you in here with me for a while, man, to wrap up this show with me. You all right with that?
All right. Yeah, that's cool.
So we're talking game one. So we're talking KD game one. Now we can get into game two in a moment. Look, my thing is with this situation is that I think that KD would have probably won back-to-back titles if he would have just stayed with Westbrook. Think about this. They were like 1A and 1B almost. You know what I mean? And I feel like the way that they lost that series the year before, they could have been able to return the favor with a sweep to the Warriors after coming out that LeBron series. You know what I mean? And I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Think about it. You could have gave the Thunder the championship the last 2 years. Because say Westbrook still has the triple-double season that he had for his MVP season, which was Durant's first season in Oakland. How crazy would it have been, bro?
No, yeah, and think about this. That offseason, the Thunder traded for Oladipo. So you would have Russ, Oladipo, and KD as your guard and small forward. And that team right there, like you said, Golden State would have been shell-shocked. And that team would have been the top team in the West and would have competed for a championship. And it's just, you know, KD just made the easy move. He was like, I can go here. I can live in the Bay Area, live in Cali, make good money, and go to a team that just won 73 games. So we're going to win the championship. And he's been proven right. So you can't – I hate the move, but – hey, for his career, he's like, I won, so what can you tell me?
Right, and people have to understand that these guys want to win
championships. Yeah.
When he went and played for the Celtics and Lakers, and it was games, you know what I mean? And that's what people have to understand. So everybody's not going to be the classic Jordan mode of a player. Some guys have to be renegades like what Kevin right now. You know what I mean? He must rather be on teams where they're being led and everybody's like, why would he go to the Knicks? I said, because with the Knicks, he'll be free.
No, yeah. I
free agree. To do what he likes. Seriously. And people have to understand that part about KD, man, is that he'll be free to do what he likes. Period, point blank, because that's what this is all about. It's all about trying to build a legacy, but at the same time, just get your numbers and have a great career. Moses Malone played, what, on 10 teams? And look, he was the X factor of getting the Sixers over top for Julius and that crew that was there for Dr. J. And people just have to understand, in the history of basketball, there's been moves made like this for the life since the game started. So you can't be mad at the way that teams maneuver. But free agency really killed a lot. It kills people's spirits. That's all it is. Now, if you get traded, that's different. But when it's free agency, you make the choice. That's what kills fan spirits. That's what I can understand.
Yeah, because we just,
you know, that's how, it's what I see.
Yeah, there. As fans, you just like, man, like you could, you know, we
want to. All right, so we're going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back to it. This is the Primetime Angles Radio Show with your boy, the Primetime Kappa, Pop DiBiase, and we will be right back to it. The show is brought to you by Twin Spires, and this is the Primetime Angles Radio Show.
Hey, it's Cody Jansen, play-by-play announcer for the Edmonton.
Week. You with me, brother? Sorry about that, man.
No, you're good. I'm here.
Okay, we went to the quick commercial break. But yeah, man, so game two last night, Raptors come all the way back last night. And literally, like we just said, the Iggy three at the end, kill him. But you know, Iggy's a clutch player. I understand what Max meant by that. It's just that Max always always sounds bad. Like when Max said that Kawhi was more clutch than Kobe. Really?
Yeah. Whoa. Max Kellerman.
Like Jay Williams had to get up and said, "Win."
Yeah.
He said, Max. "Win."
Those guys are just looking for big moments in the show, and they know people are going to go crazy about that. So I understand it, but, man, we don't want to see no nonsense on the TV screen. We know the truth. But, man, like you said, the shot Iggy hit was big. He's a finals MVP, so I wouldn't expect anything less, man. He knows why he's there, and he did his job.
Right. And I keep telling people the reason why they are who they are. If Iggy wasn't on these teams any of these years, they probably wouldn't be in the finals. And it's like, why you say that? He was the first big free agent that they brought there. Klay, Draymond, and Steph were already there.
Cool.
And they beat the Denver Nuggets, who were led by Andre Iguodala, who were the two-seeded team. They had the best road. They had the best home record in history, whatever. And they got absolute work. And Mark Jackson led. And there you go. Where does Iggy go? He goes to the Warriors. What happens with the Warriors? They fired Mark Jackson. Steve Kerr is there. They also were able to sign David Lee. They wound up being the it team in the it occurred.
He was the start of the wave. He gave them a veteran. They had young guys and Steph. Klay and Draymond, Iggy was that veteran guy. That's what I tell people. When you look at the Warriors, don't discredit the other guys, because those are like all-star caliber players, or former all-star players. You know, like a Bogut, like Iggy, like Livingston would have been an all-star if it wasn't for injury. So, man, the reason why they've been so good is because of their talent all around. It's not like say a Kobe Shaq team where, you know, you had role players. Like, these guys were former all-stars, so you got to respect everything they bring to the table.
Exactly. And my thing is this. This is my thing. I just feel that people had to respect the fact that David Lee and Iguodala came to the team. They showed you believed in the potential. But both those guys, after a while, were coming off the bench.
True.
And they were big money players. And the thing is, Iggy was the sixth man for a moment, too. He said, I don't mind doing that for you guys. If this is going to make us a better team, this is what I'm going to do.
You definitely
got to respect that in all senses of the word. I that team was not built overnight. It did take some time, but Kerr was the and it's put them in the place in places that they that we couldn't imagine to see. You have to understand, and like you just said, they've had so many great players who were all-stars down the line. Come on, they had David West, who was awesome for a long time with the Hornets. Him and Chris Paul had their whole Stockton Malone thing going on.
Yep.
You know, it's crazy to look, man. Also, the center they had, that Mark with Fasikas, you know, that guy shut down Anthony Davis when in the SEC championship game. That was why I knew that guy was a stud, was awesome, and could do crazy things at center, because he shut down AD, who was the best player in the nation, and Vanderbilt won that game. That was nuts, you know? So it's just everybody has to just take a breath, understand that the Warriors are the Warriors because it's been built over time, but they've been getting the best free agents over the last six seasons. So, you know, what is it about the Warriors that makes them so good? It's because they have a freelancer way of playing basketball. And no, this is not the new way of playing basketball, because once the Warriors go away, everything will go back to normal, in my opinion. That's how I'm feeling. You know, now they just have to cater. They have to just keep up with that. But the big man is slowly returning. And then you got a lot of guys that are at the rim a lot. Zion's not going to be a three-point shooter. If he's going to be the future of the NBA, it's going to be at the rim a lot. So, on that spot, bring the FCC out on me, man.
Why you say that?
Oh, no, because I heard the little beep in the back. Like, hey, who's cussing?
Oh,
No worries.
But you said,
this is internet radio. This is 12-hour sports.
Say that one more time. Huh?
I said, you can do what you want. This is internet radio. This is 12-hour sports. Just don't fart into the phone. This is Howard Stern, man.
Oh, no.
That shit was too funny, man, being it. You ever been to New York?
No, I mean, I'm planning a trip for this summer to hit New York.
You should go for the draft. You should buy a ticket for the draft, man.
Man, I know. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about.
It will not be hard to get interviews, man. You go right outside the hotel.
And I'm thinking, I know I have a live show the Sunday after the draft at the Truth Hollywood, Paul Pierce's Hookah Lounge. He's going to join us on there. It's going to be like a draft review show. But I was like, man, I might have to make it out there Thursday just to be there at the draft. It's going to be a big moment. Zion going number one. But to get back to the Warriors, man, they just built their team the right way. They got not only veterans, but skilled veterans who were at one point the guy or one of the guys on their team. And it was a big difference in game two because Boogie stepped up 11-10 rebounds, 6 assists. Bogut played and he was helping protect the rim. Then, you know, Iggy and Livingston were doing the things that they've been doing the last few years. And, you know, they made their third quarter adjustment and went on that 18-0 run to start the quarter, which pretty much stole the game from the Raptors. Because at one point, the Raptors were up 11 or 12. And that run just, man, that third quarter run that they make is just so special, because right after the half, it just takes so much of your heart and soul out. They had Drake looking like a fool on the sideline. So, hey, Quinn Cook stepped up, and that's what the playoffs are about, those others. Me being a Laker guy, I remember so much of that Laker team with Shaq and Kobe because of Robert Horry, Rick Fox, Ron Harper, Horace Grant, and guys like that that they needed, Derek Fisher. So to see the other guys step up is how the NBA works. And we don't like to talk about it too much because it's all about the stars. But man, we have to show respect and love to those role guys who make things happen.
All right. I like it. And that's why game two worked out the way that it worked out, is because they did championship stuff. And, you know, we've been there, done that. These Laker fans watching your team in the finals, lose the first game, then winning the second game. That's how it goes, man. That's exactly how it goes, is that your team was ready for that one, and they went and handled their business, as we would say, you know, or as Pac was saying, your business, you know? Yeah. And that's exactly what they did. Now, you know, I was talking about New York, and it was the reason why, because I was in New York City for the Anthony Joshua, Andy Ruiz Jr. heavyweight unification fight, and the Miracle Man himself, it happened. Andy Ruiz gets the big upset. It was incredible for the moment. Were you able to watch the fight? And what's your analyst of the fight, if you were able to watch that card and everything like that, PG?
Yeah, I was able to check it out. To me, it just looked like Joshua didn't have a good training camp. It looked like he underestimated his opponent, and he just showed up thinking that, you know, I'm going to just show up and beat this guy. And, you know, Ruiz is a Mexican fighter, and all Mexican fighters, man, they're coming out with the street, you know, the street style of fighting that they bring to the ring, and they don't give a damn who you are. They're coming to knock your head off, and that's exactly what Ruiz did. He just came and attacked a rusty Anthony Joshua, and man, he shocked the world. Like Ali said, he shocked the world and got him a big time knockout. He's forever going to be able to say, I was able to hold all these heavyweight belts and I beat Anthony Joshua. Though I do think in a rematch that Joshua will be more prepared, ready to go, and will win. But hey, what a big time upset. Boxing needs moments like this so that they can keep UFC, you know, away from taking their spotlight. And we know, I was upset because I'm like, damn, Joshua hurt the super fight. But if he can come back and take care of business, and Wilder can take care of business versus Ortiz, we still can get that fight that we're looking for as boxing fans.
I feel like the iron is hot, so it doesn't really matter. That it's just that they wanted everybody to be undefeated. That's all that was.
True.
Is that you just want everybody to be undefeated when you get here. Blase, blase, blase. But you know what? Some of the greatest fights came between guys that had already lost two or three times. You know, it's okay to lose. Just don't lose.
Yeah.
It happens. But the way that the fight occurred, a lot of people felt that Joshua gave up. I don't think that occurred. I think that the ref just stopped the fight because he knew that it was really getting ugly. It was really getting to the point to where even if they went to the cards, the judges couldn't sit there and take the fight away from Ruiz, even though they had Joshua up when the fight ended. Crazy, huh?
Man, crazy. I was seeing people talk. I was seeing them talk about crazy. That. I was just like, man, how could you have this guy winning? Like, he's clearly getting beaten and battered. He isn't landing too many clean shots, you know, and even the ones he did weren't too impactful. So, man, Ruiz did his thing, you know. Got to give that man a lot of props. No one expected it, and that's what's so great about, like, boxing and pretty much fighting sports, period, including the MMA. Is that, man, it just takes somebody just coming and giving their all, landing some big shots for the upset to happen. And, man, this was a big-time sports moment. Of course we hated it because, like you said, you like to see undefeated fighters. But, hey, it's boxing. Some of the greatest fighters, like you said, had L's under their belt and were able to give you big-time performances. So now it's just up to Joshua to do his job, man. Come and beat this dude brains out in this rematch if he can, and get ready for a Wilder fight that we're all waiting for.
Right, and I don't feel like it was luck for Andy Ruiz, because I've seen Andy Ruiz fight. I've interviewed Andy Ruiz. I've seen him in the gym. That guy's hands move like a welterweight, a lightweight, a featherweight. The guy's hands move quick. And, you know, don't let his appearance fool you. The guy is very, very athletic. And when he got his t-shirt on, he had some swoles or something. I mean, but, you know, he got a belly. And it's so funny. He was so funny at the press conference. He said, well, you know, I got to work on getting my Anthony body. He said, I want to be the Mexican Joshua. You know, and it was so funny that, you know, that he was still, they were so humble and so likable with each other. And yes, the rematch will be happening. That was an auto rematch because the rematch clause was intact. There's, you know, you just can't pass go yet. You got to bring, run it back because, you know, Josh was supposed to win the fight. That's what everybody but Andrew Ruiz's camp thought. And it was funny being in the press conference, man, being in part of the media and everything like that. PG, people were like, I knew it, la 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 la. I said, you wanted to know. See, you on the after the fact shit. We all know that he had pop. We all know that he had some quick ass hands, and we all knew Joshua made a mistake to put his ass out. But don't say that you was calling it before it happened, because everybody wanted AJ to win. Sorry,
yeah,
not gonna let you. And that's why even Andy's people said that. Sorry, not gonna believe you. Only his family believed like that. His people, close circle, believed in him. And I slightly had a belief in him because I said, damn, why do you pick Andy Ruiz? That wasn't smart. Because I just saw what Andy Ruiz did to a 6'8 dude last week. And he made, that dude couldn't even get off the stool. So it didn't matter about Joshua being taller, and he wasn't heavier than him. So it didn't matter, you know? So it is what it is. They're all talking about the belly and everything like that. But really, it's just a guy who's really average size, like they said, in America, literally.
Yeah.
Literally. So we're at a quick commercial break. You might hear me talk a little bit about baseball, man, a little bit, and just show you how these odds and things work, buddy.
Yep.
Yeah. So give me one sec. We're going to go ahead and go to a commercial break. Don't worry about it, man. Just pick it right back up once this commercial break is over and everything like that. Just want to make sure that we break up the recording and everything like that, because we are recording on Anchor as well, too. You can listen to the show on the iPhone, on the Apple, iTunes, Spotify, and every other major platform that you, that podcasts are on as well, too. It automatically downloads. You guys go ahead and pick up Anchor. This show, the Primetime Angles Radio Show, is brought to you by Twin Spires. You guys are into horse racing and you love betting it, you go ahead and you go ahead, press on twinspires.com, and then go ahead and throw some money into your account and go ahead and make some money if you know how the horses run. All right, so we will be right back in 2 and 2. Me and Michael the PG, and this is the Primetime Angles Radio Show.
Want to get an inside look at recreational Vegas sports betting? Then tune in to the Vegas Squares podcast. Follow us as we discuss.
All right, man. Well, I let Michael go for a little bit, man. We had a great, great time with him. But, you know, pretty much this is some, hey, this is a money show. This is all about the primetime angles, but I only have 4 baseball games today. So I saved the best for last, what the show is all about. And we got a Monday schedule, and it looks pretty good right now. We got a game coming up at 1 o'clock this afternoon. We got the Angels and the Cubs. I think this is a makeup game, correct? So both teams are going to be playing all week from what I can see. The Cubs just lost their last 3 in a row. They lost their last 4 out of 5, while the Angels won their last 4 out of 5. We got a matchup going between Cam Bedrosian and John Lester. This right here is calling for the under. So I'm going to go ahead and say under 9. I know it's going to be a day game. I know it's going to be pretty much, it's not a matinee, but it's the 3 o'clock start in Chicago. So the lights won't be on probably at the end of the night. So pretty much I'm going to go ahead and take the under 9. I think that it's going to be a very, very quick game in a sense anyway. So go ahead and circle the under 9
for the Cubs and the Angels. Now we got the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers, all right? We got an over-under 8. The Dodgers are coming in as a minus 160 favorite at home. The Dodgers are red hot. They've won their last 5 in a row, while the Diamondbacks have won their last 2 in a row, but this was against the Mets, who are a team that is on the brink of what? Really, 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 really not being good this season. Right now, the Mets are sitting in a very peculiar spot, third place, middling for now. And I think that that doesn't really count well for the Diamondbacks as teams that they're supposed to beat, correct? Yeah. But the Diamondbacks are 30-30. Dodgers are 41-19. And I do think the Dodgers will go ahead and win this game just because they're playing red-hot baseball. Walker Buehler is coming in 5-1, 4.03 ERA. Robbie Ray is a pretty good pitcher as well, too. But the Dodgers have had their way with him over the years as well, too. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take the Dodgers on a 1.5 run line. And I'm not being a homer here. I'm just thinking that the Dodgers, that's where the value's at. You know, you're plus 110 there on the Dodgers. So go ahead, check it out. Let's get that money, baby. It's going to be -1.5 Dodgers. Let's get the victory. All right? Dodgers by 2 or more runs. Then we got the Astros and the Mariners. This one should be a good one. It's an over-under a 9. Astros are a minus 130 favorite in this game. They've won their last 4 out of 5, while Seattle's lost their last 4 out of 5. So this gives us a game where a team is sitting here really pretty much losing the touch that they had to start off the season this year. So now they're trying to get it back together. They've literally fell on their face now. But the Astros are going to run away with this division regardless of what anybody thinks. I thought that it was going to be close, but I do feel like, man, Anchor recording this, you're trying to make sure the show is recorded and make sure that the show is live at the same time. Tough, but we're going to get this thing together. I'm over here listening to some great music too. NRE, shout out to him. So where were we? We're talking the Astros and the A's. What we're going to do here is it's going to be very, no, Astros, A's, silly me. It's going to be Astros, Mariners. What we're going to do here is I don't like the way that the Mariners are playing ball right now. So I'm going to take a shot on Corbin Martin here, and I'm going to take the Astros money line. Y'all know I don't like chalk like that. Y'all know this. Y'all know I don't like chalk like that. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Astros Mariners in on that deal right there. I'm going to take the Astros in that spot, minus 130. And then I'm going to go ahead and take the home dog, the only home dog other than the Diamondbacks. What I'm talking about, you got two home dogs, two home favorites, but the home dog is the Padres. Why? Because I'm going to take advantage of the Padres losing their Phillies losing their last 4 out of 5 games, and their last 4 to be exact, and then they're playing against a San Diego team that should have a bad taste in their mouth from dropping the last 2 games to Miami. So I think that they should go ahead and win this game tonight. Everything is for tonight. I'll go ahead and lay out that parlay for you guys as well too. But that's where we're going with this one right here, is that there goes 4 MLB games for you right there. And pretty much we can all go ahead and see where it goes. Let's see how this one shakes out for today. And pretty much we are at the last 90 seconds of the show. But brand new time, brand new attitude, brand new era. This is what it is. This is the Primetime Angles Radio Show. We have returned. I was off the schedule for about a week or two because we had to work some things out. I had to confirm. I was hoping that, you know, they didn't think that I was trying to leave or anything of that nature. So I just been busy. I just want to make sure that we are back in business, and we are Monday through Friday, 10 to 12. Literally, if we got to do a show from 10 to 11, we'll have the re-record of the show ran back for you guys at 11 o'clock. But most likely, I'm going to try to get 2 hours in for you, bringing in good guests every morning for you. Well, it's morning in California, but it's afternoon in the East. But giving you that good lunchtime show to listen to, because lunch is my favorite meal of the day. And, you know, I like my meals. You see me. Ah! All right, but this is the Primetime Angles Radio Show. You can follow me on the Twitter at PopDBIC. Also, you guys can follow me on IG at DBICWave_ Primetime. Prime Wave Media Group is the name of my YouTube channel now. And Primetime Wave Media Group, there's a big announcement coming for them this week as well, too. But you guys make sure to tune in to the Primetime Angles Radio Show, hosted by your boy, the Primetime Kappa Pop DiBiase, signing out.
It's easy. Just advertise your podcast to your...